Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines for Living.
Robert Knowles felt that he had the formula for conveying values to his children. He told the press that he really believed a child would turn out just fine if the parents loved the child, spent plenty of time with him, involved him in wholesome activities, and helped him get a balanced education. Quote, "Suddenly, after 17 years of dedicated effort, something happened to my foolproof plan. I found I was the father of a murderer." What happened? Noel's son was sentenced to 25 years in prison after pleading guilty to the murder of a 16-year-old girl who had spurned his advances. The father said, "The shock, agony, and soul-searching are unbelievable. Everything you believe in is gone in one bolt of lightning that rips your heart out at the same time. What went wrong? Nothing fits your notion of criminal behavior and what to do about it." No parent dares to be so smug or sure of himself that he can take lightly what Robert Knowles said. But the question remains, what went wrong? What caused the son to apparently turn his back on everything his parents believed in? Of one thing you can be certain. Every parent, no matter what he does, is conveying a value system of some kind to his child. The parent who purposely sets out to convey a positive value system, as well as the parent who simply lets his child take the path of least resistance and do whatever he or she pleases. Insight. The greatest contributors to a child's value system are still his mother and father, at least in the long term. The most immediate, his peer group. A child's value system becomes a reflection of the aggregate influences in his life, whether they be what he sees on television or the media, what his friends think, or the impact of that church and God in his life. A parent who models the message and reflects the kind of a value system in his personal life which he wants his child to embrace is far more effective than a parent who talks about one thing but practices another. The parent who acknowledges personal failure when it happens is teaching an important lesson. As we confess our sins and failures and forsake them, our Heavenly Father forgives us, and He gives us strength to overcome. But the parent who pretends to be perfect, when in reality he or she is very fallible, is teaching hypocrisy, and our kids pick up on that very quickly. No parent, however, can convey much of a value system apart from being there, taking time for hobbies, for recreation, for worship, for games. For time together is all part of showing what you think is important. For a moment, don't confuse quality time with quantity time. They are not the same. And no stretch of the imagination can convince you that a couple of hours on the weekend will compensate for your absence on Monday through Friday. The first mention of the word love in the Bible is that of a father's love for his son. And thereby God must be telling us something very, very important. A child may have many influences in his life, but there is never another person who can fully and completely substitute for the presence of a dad. When it's all said and done, every child has a will of his own. Regardless, most parents, perhaps Robert Knowles included, feel personal failure when a child goes wrong. Follow the biblical mandate of raising your child in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Then let God do His work in your child's heart. You can trust Him when you've done your part.
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. For more practical and inspirational messages, visit guidelines.org. If you find our devotionals helpful and would like to share them with others, consider supporting our ministry with a donation. Again, that's guidelines.org. Thanks for listening to Guidelines for Living.